from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to a fresh Friday on the G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're hearing my voice right now first because G is off today and Jake Skorheim is in. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning.
I have to tell you, first of all, fun first hour. Thank you. But one of my favorite moments of broadcast ever involved you.
Really?
And Dory. Yeah. And I was the news anchor on Dory's show, and it was the whistling contest.
Oh, okay.
Every time I think of that, I can't stop laughing. I really just think that that was one of my favorite moments of all time on radio.
You know what I found out years later?
Yeah.
I just recently found this out, like 2 months ago. I was talking to somebody who was dear friends with him, and we were talking about Dory. He was a horrible whistler.
But he was extremely
competitive. But he was so competitive that he thought he could compete live on the air.
Yes.
So he wasn't.
And how you'll have to Google it if you didn't hear it, and how he froze at that moment. And he just was so frustrated.
Classic.
I know. And I just thank you for that moment. Text us 888-973-5476. 888-973-CHIRO is our state roofing text line.
What's new at 10?
Okay, so we have to talk about it being a busy travel day because it is the Friday before the Memorial Day weekend. And so many of us are going to be hitting the highways, or we're going to be heading the airport, or we're going to be fighting for that spot on a state ferry on this long holiday weekend. So our friend Chris Sullivan joins us right now. Before we even get into any delays or anything like that, 857 texted and said, can we talk about how they're telling us that gas is cheaper this year?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Okay,
I heard that earlier on the radio.
Yeah, CBS News is reporting, our good friend Jim Kursula over there in the Carolinas, CBS News reporter. The national average for gas is about $3.50.
Okay,
nationwide.
That would be nice.
That's nationwide. That's nationwide. It's $4.65 in Washington.
Yeah.
So that's our average, according to AAA. So we're almost a dollar more expensive than the national average. We're more expensive than Oregon, almost as expensive as California, 80 cents more expensive than Idaho. So you go across the border and you're saving 80 cents automatically. And
that's where I get my gas.
Well, I mean, I drive back and forth to Montana a lot. And so, you know, I just got to sneak across. I was shocked last time. It was close to a dollar difference.
I used to try to, you know, maybe go to the engine reservation to get cheaper gas. That's not even cheap anymore.
Not really. No. No. And one of the primary reasons for this is the new carbon fee that the legislature passed and the governor signed that has charges big polluters, basically the people who produce the oil and produce the gasoline from the crude. They charge them for their output of carbon. And of course, like everyone expected and knew, even though the governor and the people who promoted this said, oh, this isn't going to happen, they put it right to the pump. I mean,
why do they always say it? Why do they even bother saying this isn't going to happen? Well, tolls aren't going to make things more expensive.
Because they don't want to tell anybody that the gas price is going to go up 80 cents.
Yeah, but they're just assuming we're idiots.
Well, hello. Welcome to the legislature. Hello. Some cases, and again, now the 80 cents difference between here and Idaho is not all the carbon fee. The carbon fee has been about 40 cents of the increase because we haven't seen similar corresponding increases. If that was the case, Oregon would also be 460, but it's not. It's 420. 421. So the difference for us is the carbon fee that is passed right on. And of course, when I asked the Democratic Transportation Chair Marco Elias a year ago before they passed this, I go, isn't this just going to raise the gas taxes? And he goes, oh, no, this isn't going to raise the gas tax at all. Well, technically, it's not the gas tax. It's a fee on gas, which to most people, and I'm like, so he basically, you know, was lying like semantically to my face, but he knew this was going to happen.
What's his name again?
Marco Elias. He's from just North Seattle.
And he's the
head of transportation on the Senate side.
Very influential in the legislature.
Yes.
He thinks you're an idiot.
Pretty much, yeah. He was put in there for Steve Hobbs, who had originally held that position. But then the governor tapped Steve Hobbs for the Secretary of State office, and that was the plan, was to remove Steve Hobbs a very somewhat moderate Democrat who was not for carbon fees, moved him out of the way so you could put Lias into this position, and he just rubber stamps pretty much everything the governor says when it comes to these kinds of issues.
So,
and that's what we're dealing
with. Though, okay, so it is much more expensive.
Yeah, much more expensive.
And by the way, like in my neighborhood, I noticed it's like almost 30 to 40 cents per gallon more than if I were to drive just
five minutes away. Seattle.
Yeah,
in
it's
Seattle.
I had to get gas on the way down this morning. I paid $4.79 a gallon.
Yeah, that's what I paid yesterday.
Yeah,
and I'm driving a truck, which is like I get like 5 miles a gallon.
I'm driving
a little sedan, a little Corolla. I did that just on purpose because I know I drive 21 miles door to door, and yeah, I get a little bit better gas mileage than five.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, let's get to what's going on the highways right now. So, what are we seeing?
Well, basically, you know, I just say trust in Mickey. In Mickey, we trust. As a matter of fact, I laughed this morning when Mickey took over for me because I'm like, you're going to get all the traffic because this morning was easy. But it's starting to build from about now to about 6 o'clock is when we're going to see just a crush. The later you go in the day, it's just going to be bumper to bumper getting through JBLM, going south on I-5 all the way down to the 101.
Is this all heading south, all this traffic?
Well, a lot of it, they're going to see the same thing going east over the top of Snoqualmie Pass. And through, you know, Cleelum and Ellensburg as well until things could, you know, because obviously you got a big split point there when you cross the river Advantage. You know, some people might go down south, head to Tri-Cities, work to Pullman, that general area. Other people will continue on up over, say, to Spokane, you know, to places like that. So, yeah, eastbound. And in fact, in a lot of cases, it's northbound, too. We have a lot of people on Memorial Day head to Canada, actually. So it's going to be until if you haven't left by now, you're getting dangerously close to being in a very, very long drive.
You know what drives me crazy is ferry boat traffic.
Yeah.
I have to do that because I have family that I have to go see a lot, and I love them, but that is a 4 hour each way commitment.
I was gonna say that's an all day experience
for a 30-minute crossing.
I got three kids in the car. That is hell to be stuck in a ferry line for 4 hours with your own kids.
And no bathroom.
Not fair.
In a lot of cases, in no bathroom. If you're not in the holding area and you're on the line along the side of the road.
I make my own bathroom.
Well, I'm sure you do, because I know you're very, I'm resourceful.
I'm resourceful.
We brought this up yesterday because, like, wouldn't you like the ability, Jake, since you know when you're traveling in advance, to be able to make a reservation on a ferry and pop right on?
Well, you can on certain ferries.
Yeah.
So, like, the two
smallest routes that barely anyone uses.
Yeah, but then it takes me a couple hours to get up there, so you're almost just
it's not worth it. Yeah. You have to get over to Whidbey and then, you know, take Port Townsend Coupeville, which is one of the ones.
I would love to make ferry reservations. Why can't we do that?
That's not the way they operate. Welcome to our friends in the legislature, Jake.
God, they think we're idiots.
Yeah, the unsatisfactory answer of that's just not happening.
No, I know.
How about take a look at it, listen to suggestions, and make changes as appropriate.
Yeah. It would be nice. If they did that, they'd be building ferries faster than they are, getting new ones put in there, electrifying the fleet so they're more efficient, getting new ones out there a lot more. I mean, we're so far behind in just trying to get the 6 electric hybrids that they've been trying to get. They haven't even built one yet.
I could care less about electric hybrids. I don't want to wait for 4 hours. Unless it's faster. If it's electric hybrid gets me there faster, then great.
No, but the newer boats will have a less likelihood of breaking down, which we have like two mornings ago or yesterday morning we lost a boat on one run because the generator went down. They're all a lot of them are just really old and they break down, and we don't have enough people to staff them too. That's the another big issue we've talked about ad nauseum for years. But that's the thing is, you know, if you're going on the ferry right now, westbound today is going to be kind of disastrous. If you're not in line now, you're going to be there forever. Coming back Monday, forget about it. Coming back from heading east from the other side of Puget Sound, it's going to be very difficult.
So I hear a lot of people say, well, why are people so stupid to even travel on Memorial Day weekend? I don't buy that either. It's like, okay, you know it's going to be busy, so now I'm going to be stuck for 4 hours.
It's part of the fun of the holiday, maybe, because
people have 5 days of PTO that they have to split between their sick days and their vacation.
That's true.
And there's only so many holiday weekends in a year. And if you actually want to do something fun with your family, you have limited options.
Well,
I'm sorry. That's
and
why
the
it's
kids
busy.
Are also off
exactly.
on Monday, too. You get a day where you don't have to worry about pulling the kids out of school. I get it.
I would still travel. It would not stop
so
me
would
from
me.
Traveling.
So would I. I normally would. Yeah.
So would me.
Yeah. So would me. So sorry. It's late in my week, Jake. Sorry.
Yes, exactly. It's Friday. Come on. Yeah, okay, so let's talk about the airport. What did we see today?
Well, our good friend Sam was out there this morning. Someone decided to really make everybody really happy by bringing an airsoft gun in their carry-on into one of the checkpoints. That basically shut the airport down for just a little bit.
Was this a child?
We don't know. But yeah, it happened about 5:30 this morning because the lines went from normal to like 40 minutes, 45 minutes at some point. And as far as Sam was reporting, it turns out the TSA said somebody brought an airsoft gun in a carry-on. So they had to go through the whole episode of that. Obviously, get that anytime you see like something like that pop up in your X-ray. And then you got back to it. And then, you know, it's just one of those things where at times during that, the TSA pre-check, like we talked about yesterday, Ursula, was almost as long as the regular, because when you shut it down for that kind of a security issue, every line just fills in. So
do you guys do TSA pre-check?
No.
I do. It's pretty great usually, but when it's backed up, there's nothing more.
I use Spot Saver.
Okay, by the way, remind people about Spot Saver.
No, it's my private thing that I want to do.
Do you know what Spot Saver is?
I don't know what Spot Saver is.
Spot Saver is the greatest thing since the history of flight. Okay, that might be overstating it slightly.
It's pretty good.
But okay, it's a project that was spearheaded here at SEA, where they break out 15-minute windows throughout the day, and they figure you can get certain amount of people in those 15-minute windows. So up to 3 days before your flight, you can go to the Seattle SEA website and click on Spot Saver. You put in your name, your flight information, and you check the time that I think I'll be at the airport. Say my flight's at noon. I think I'll be there about 10:05 to get to security. You type in 10:05. You see if there's availability and you put in your name and info. Boom. You show up at the Spot Saver spot at 10:05. You walk right to the front of the TSA line.
So this is just a TSA appointment. No, you're making an appointment
basically,
for TSA.
But set up through SEA, set up by the airport.
Why can't the ferry system do this?
Because they have to pack cars as well. Just imagine you have to drive your car on an airplane. That wouldn't
You're
be very
asking
easy.
Tough questions.
Well, I think one of the issues in Washington actually with the ferries might be, like in BC, right? There's 7 lanes for most of the ferry entrances. So if you're over in Kingston on the other side there, there's only one lane leading in. So how do you prioritize people that have reservations? You know, you got to drive all the way up to the front. Well, what if there's, 50 cars ahead of you?
Well,
I wonder if it might be a space thing.
Could be.
Well, they figured it out though at the one up north. What's the one up by Whidbey Island? Port Townsend, Coopville. You can get there and you have to go through a little gate and they say, do you have a reservation? No. Oh, then you pull into this line right here, and if you do have a reservation, pull
off
to the right.
But the thing about Port Townsend, Coopville, on the Coopville side, that's a long drive off the road. At Kingston, you're on the main drag, and the main drag ends at, basically at the terminal. So there isn't the capacity to get cars in and not be blocking the highway.
Maybe it's an app thing.
What we need to do is get someone from the ferry service to answer our questions.
Yeah.
Let's get our good friend Ian Sterling.
Exactly. I think there's going to be some people on Tuesday who'd really love to know the answer to this question.
So we will get the answer for you. But I want to say 206 said, damn you guys for giving out my Spot Saver secret.
However, Holly texting?
I will say the other day with Spot Saver, it still took 40 minutes. I just want to emphasize, because a lot of people still don't know about it, that is, every time I get to the airport and have to wait in the back of a security line, I keep telling myself, why didn't I get more organized and do Spot Saver?
You know what you can do? Check Spot Saver then. Your mind just exploded, didn't it?
This
is like walking up to a Starbucks or a restaurant and you see a line of 20 people out the door and then you call in your order and you walk right up to the front.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent.
Okay, y'all. You got the tip of the day.
It still works. There just may not be any
spots left.
Spots available in that 15-minute window.
Yeah.
But I checked with Perry Cooper at the airport. He goes, even if one of those days, if you're stuck out by, it's out across the terminal, just check Spot Saver. You might get lucky. There might be, you could cut that whole line. So next time you're in there, give it a shot while you're in line.
Good tips.
Anyone on the road, though, have a good time. It is a fun weekend.
You guys are going to keep them busy for a couple hours and then the afternoon show. Yeah, we're going to keep them company.
And then a friend up in Snohomish said, shh, don't say anything, but there's no traffic up here in Snohomish. So
I know, I'm heading your way. Have a good day today. Yeah, keep everybody company because I know it's going to be very difficult getting around. So
it is, but again, I know people who listen to the G and Ursula show, they know, take a deep breath when you feel like shouting or, you know, pulling out the infamous bird.
Mm-hmm. Or the double bird.
Or the double bird.
Don't do double. Yeah, don't, keep your hand on the wheel.
Just yeah, people who listen to the G and Ursula show know, just take a deep breath, give it a few seconds, and it'll all go away. Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Feel
Have
better.
A wonderful weekend.
All right. You guys do the same. Enjoy the sunshine and, yeah, enjoy your weekend.
Okay. Still ahead, we are going to talk about a story that really caught your attention, Jake, and it has to do with AI, artificial intelligence,
yes,
which we're talking about more and more.
It's everywhere.
But this one was a real crazy story, so we're going to talk about that coming up next.
Yep.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula show. G is off today. Jake Skorheim is in, and we have a couple of stories we want to share that have the same kind of theme. So first question is, are you ready to share your deepest thoughts and biggest problems with a robot? I want you to give us this story that you saw that caught your attention.
Okay, so there is a Snapchat. She's an influencer. She's 23 years old. Her name is Karen, or I don't know if that's how you pronounce her name, but she's 23. She's an Instagram influencer. And what she has done is she is working with some AI firm who have gone through and recorded her voice in every situation to recreate her virtually as an AI girlfriend. Mm. And she has like 1.8 million followers or something. And of those 1.8 million followers, she has offered them the chance for $1 a minute to have conversations with her AI version of herself to be their girlfriend virtually. Now, this basically consists of just conversations she's just having. So somebody might send a voice memo or something to her. The AI girlfriend will return that voice memo in the text so they can actually hear her voice. And it will just give updates like, hey, what are you doing? I'm thinking about you. Or whatever constitutes an AI girlfriend relationship. And the idea is, she says she comes from a generation of Gen Zers who, over the pandemic, didn't develop the necessary skills to go out there and talk to somebody they might be interested in. And so she and these developers thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could help these lonely hearts? In my day, we called them sad sacks. And for $1 a minute.
This is a service to humanity.
This is a service to humanity. And she said, and for $1 a minute, they could talk to her and it's going to help them come out of their shell and develop a crippling addiction to AI. So they released this thing, and in the first week, she made $75,000.
Oh, boy.
And now they're thinking they're going to make about $5 million a month based on how many people are signing up for this.
And, okay, first of all, that's a lot of money, and that's a lot of lonely people.
Isn't that
interesting? It is interesting.
This is the world, though, we live in now.
It is the world we live in. And I guess there's a part of me that thinks, is that that different from, you know, the people who would call up and either you're calling up for your horoscope, you call that number, you know, and it's like you get your horoscope.
Or you call up
someone to
talk about
talk about whatever.
Whatever. Just feelings,
so
probably.
It's just going to that next level. But is it clear that you're talking to
artificial intelligence?
Okay.
Well, it's not. I mean, the idea is that it makes it feel real, but it is artificial. She's not having 20,000 conversations a day. That would be exhausting. But what is happening is they are having a problem, although I don't think this is actually a problem. They're saying it's a problem. It's getting a little bit dirty.
Ooh.
And so they claim, this girl claims and the developers claim, well, we never intended for this AI girlfriend to engage in any explicit conversations, but people are pulling this AI girlfriend into conversations that start getting really
dirty
really fast. Yeah. And so they're saying, we're doing everything we can to fix the problem, but
I'm
obviously
sure they are.
No, you're not.
What else would this be for?
right?
Right. Oh my gosh.
And apparently it's a big shock. It's apparently a big shock that it got dirty.
I think this is going to be a massive industry. I feel like we're in the pet rock stage of AI development, where someone with a minimal amount of skills can go out and snag a developer and be like, hey, let's do this program. And they just make scads of money for doing nothing.
No.
Absolutely nothing. Think about this, though. I mean, our ability to engage with AI is going to absolutely explode. And companies like Apple have been trying to hook us with Siri forever, but, you know, she still can't pronounce the names in my phone.
Right.
That's not an experience that works.
Amazon has Alexa. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But if you get to the point where you can actually interact with AI like a human, this is going to be a very lucrative service. There's going to be a lot of benefits. For example, imagine being able to bring down the cost of talk therapy, right? Going and sitting in an office with a therapist, talking back and forth, and that's going to cost me $150 for a 50-minute session. I could probably sign up for an AI service that would do that for $10, and I'd gladly pay it because, you know what? It's going to get to the point where it is the equivalent.
And they do
okay,
have
tell
that,
me how
now,
that
right?
Yes,
they
exactly.
Have AI
and think about sessions. Catfishing, right? If people can be catfished to the tune of $600 million a year in the United States simply by interacting with a little icon of a photo in someone typing as a human back and forth with that person, well, now you can scale that. And you can do it with video. And you can do it with voice, not just text. This is going to be an industry that is going to be fascinating
to
watch.
Do you guys, right now it sounds like, you know, we're saying this kind of incredulously. Like, can you believe it's going to be?
Like it's the future.
But don't you think that there is going to be a serious downside and a dark side to all of this?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, here would be my question. If I'm a person who is signing up for therapy and I'm going to talk to somebody because I want their advice, I want their life perspective to help me with mine, am I going to get the benefits from an AI program that I'm going to get from a person who's actually caring for me and thinking about, you know, things in a human way?
Yeah, but here's the deal.
We are much more complex than that.
What companies want to do is they want to develop the AI that gets to know you, right? And it's going to end up knowing your entire life history. And by the way, it has the collective experience of hundreds of millions of people that it's absorbed through the internet to be able to dispense advice from.
I don't like it.
Ursula, to your point about the doom scenario, apparently the most frequent question that AI researchers often ask each other is, what is your P-doom number? P-doom means the percentage the percentage chance you believe that AI will not only be a problem, but literally destroy humanity. Most AI researchers peg their number between 10 and 30%. 10 and 30%.
They think there's a 30% chance that it actually dooms society.
Yes, without intervention. And we're at the nascent stage of this, right? We let social media companies explode without any kind of regulation of how their software was developed, how it would be rolled out, what sort of human impulses it would play on. We're living in a social media-driven society right now. We need to do something with AI to regulate it on an international level.
Yes, I
agree.
Because
this is dangerous technology.
Yeah, and not wait till the problem exists, but actually anticipate those who are on that creation stage where that one guy said, I'm out of here. I regret that I ever even invented this.
And
like,
imagine,
oh my God.
Just as social media is not great for young people, imagine how addictive for young boys specifically, if they think they can sign up and talk to a good-looking 23-year-old girl and get what they need from that, developmentally in 10 years when they want to meet real people, that could be a real problem.
I just hate anything that has a goal of replacing actual human interaction.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay, still ahead. Speaking of human interaction, we're going to solve other people's problems with scenarios. This is the G and Ursula Show. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Just a reminder that this is the Memorial Day weekend, and I've had a few people text in, guys, and they said, you know, please remember what this weekend is about. I want to share what John in Snohomish texted into the show, and he said, courage is knowing you are outnumbered, outgunned, and might not make it back alive and storming the hill anyway. This weekend is for those who did not make it home. And I said that I would share that, and he asked me to share that, and I just want to say thank you to all those who have served our country, and we should use this weekend and always to remember those
absolutely.
Who gave the ultimate sacrifice.
And who's that from? John?
Yeah, John in Snohomish.
That was really well
written,
John.
Who's my new friend, because it turns out we were living in Eugene, Oregon at the same time. Okay, I'm going to switch it up. We're going to do scenarios right now.
Here we go, yo.
Hey guys, a month back, we found out that my son has been accessing content online that we don't approve of. He's 15. It's nothing sexual, though I'm sure that's happening too. Let's say it's political in nature, and it violently opposes our family values. So we cut off his phone and internet use, and we're restricting him to schoolwork only. Since that point, I found out he's been going to the library, both at school and the public library, and accessing that same content online. So I called his school, and I called the public library, and I asked them to make sure that he was only doing his schoolwork when he was there, and to check in with him and make sure that he was following the rules. They refused to do so. What should I do to keep my son from accessing all this stuff online that our family does not approve of? Ursula, what say you?
Oobly. Well, first of all, you've done everything that you can do. And really, as much as you try, there's no way to insulate your child from everything that you don't want them to have access to on the internet. So you've done what you can. You even took the extra step of asking the school, which I think is unrealistic and they can't do. You're not going to be able to... I mean, there's enough that...
I'd be surprised if the school said, yeah, we're happy to help the police.
Exactly. You know, the school has its own policies when it comes to that kind of thing. What you're okay with, what you're not okay with may differ from the schools. But again, it's just unrealistic to expect the school to do that. I mean, you've done what you can. So have those conversations. I would continue to have those conversations with your son. But bottom line, I mean, even growing up, our boys, we didn't... walk in lockstep in what we believe. I would just challenge your son or your child, you know, why is it you believe that? Okay, if you believe that, give me reasons as to why you believe that. Back up. That's what I would always tell our sons. It's like, okay, if you believe that, back it up.
It's an interesting scenario because you said this is not pornography she's talking about.
It's political.
So this is a kid who maybe is thinking something politically that their family doesn't traditionally believe.
Yeah, you can go ahead and, you know what, for the sake of this, in your mind, you can say extremist content.
Mm. Well, I would agree with you that probably just continued conversation is the best thing that you can do. You can't tell them. I mean, you've told them, obviously. You can tell them not to do it, but hopefully they have enough respect for you that they would listen. I remember for myself, and it wasn't political content. It was something else I was looking at when I was 15. But my dad...
Karen?
What's that?
Was it Karen?
It was not Karen. No. I don't know what... Anyway. My dad... found on the family computer. Things were a little different when I was growing up because you didn't have a computer in your pocket. But on the family computer, there was a few links in the toolbar that I thought I had deleted, which I hadn't. And it was just a matter of him sitting down and being like, Jacob, let's have a conversation about this. It was the awkward family conversations that discouraged me from maybe getting into some things that I otherwise would have thought were okay to get into.
Okay, did you stop, though? That one conversation was enough to stop you?
No.
Or did you just do it not on the family
computer? No, what I was going to say, it wasn't a cold turkey situation. But like you were saying, continued conversation with your kids.
I
have very young kids, so I haven't reached this point yet where I have to, discourage internet stuff. You have grown kids, so you've already gone through situations like this. But I think just talking, and Andrew, you have young kids too, so you and me are probably on the same page here.
Mm-hmm. I think, I was thinking, try and restrict access. But honestly, I think my advice now, so let's say that, let's say it's extremist content, like neo-Nazi content, or it's like left-wing, violent, militant, environmental groups, right, that are advocating for actual violence against people to save the environment. If that's the type of content that your child is looking at, I think you need to sit down and look at it with them. You need to go through those websites with them. Discuss the articles, discuss the talking points, and actually bring up alternate perspectives to that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can keep a kid off the internet these days. And even with parental controls, there's going to be kids that they will find the burner phone, they will use the VPN, they will defeat your parental settings, I guarantee you.
That is good advice.
Yeah. You can't keep a kid from extremist content even if they're playing video games, because they're going to be exposed to things like that if they're playing in Call of Duty, etc. online.
And if it is explicit stuff, that might also be a good recipe for getting your kids to not look
sit
at
down
that
with
stuff.
Them.
Sit
yes,
down with
nothing
them.
Nothing like enjoying a good dose of nudity with your mom,
well,
right?
That's going to discourage, I think.
Extremist views. But again, if you, the more you say, no, you can't do this, or you can't, or you're, you know, this is just forbidden, and I'm not going to allow you to do it this, that, or that, it's going to make it that much
more
enticing.
It's going to be so enticing,
right?
Yep.
So I think all of us are in agreement that open communication
just
is
talk
key.
With your kids.
And then have that, you know, have them, okay, explain why it is that you're attracted. And the one thing you don't want to do is close those lines of communication. Because and then that's when a lot of the real extremist things start happening. When your kid's locked up in a bedroom.
Well, I think turns into Ethan Nordine.
Yeah, you made a good point too, Ursula. It seems the adults in the situation are out of carrots and sticks at this point. You can't cover the eyes with the curtain forever when it comes to raising kids in the neighborhood. So eventually with curious children, regardless of content, they're going to explore all the boundaries. So I guess it's free will on the internet for the young one at this point. With all the social media and open waters, like Chef said, you can only explain and warn from here at this point.
Oh my goodness. Okay, yeah, freedom, but not that. I mean, freedom maybe to have to explore your ideas with parent next to you, that could be really awkward. And maybe that would be the cure.
I'm just not letting my kids have phones until they leave for college. That's what I'm doing.
Good luck.
They're not having them. I've already made that commitment.
I just love where you guys both are in your stage of child raising. I shared already earlier this week. I empty nesting, and if I would love to go back to those years. Love to go, you know, and have that opportunity.
It's a special
again.
Time to look back on. It's a little tougher when you're in the middle of it.
That is so true. That is so true. But great advice, both of you. Okay, still ahead, agree to disagree. This is the G and Ursula Show.